Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ruthie at Syndicated News. We've moved most of the business to snn.bz, but we're beginning to work with Blog Talk Radio again because we had forgotten how many wonderful features this system has, and it's very affordable. So come and look at the prices, and it may be something that can help you. If you have a business and you want to promote your product, Blog Talk Radio might be the perfect place to do it. And I'd like to talk about the pictures on the front page of this episode. One of the pictures you see, of course, is what I call the Trinity. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and their daughter Chelsea. They're going to have lots of explaining to do when it comes to the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative. Then, of course, we can talk about President Trump and the First Lady Melania. Then we could talk about something very serious, which is the Islamic Brotherhood. Many people don't realize that Hillary Clinton's assistant, Huma Abedin, grew up within the Islamic Brotherhood, and she's worked for that organization most of her life. It's the same as growing up in a Baptist home or a Catholic home. You may want to do something different, but you tend to fall back into those habits. And another time concerning Huma Abedin, we should be talking about the five pillars of Islam. One of them is about working from within, being the enemy to someone, but being inside their home, inside their business. And we should also talk about John Podesta, because he's become a star in WikiLeaks. He was quite embarrassingly making fun of her at times, certainly not respecting her, of course, to her face. He's very respectful, but when you read his emails, the WikiLeaks emails, you'll see that he doesn't respect her at all. There's no question that he has a lot of misgivings about her behavior and the way she speaks to people. And about 20 years ago, and many of the millennials didn't know Hillary because they weren't born yet. But 20 years ago, when, I don't remember exactly if it was 20, but when Bill Clinton ran for the presidency and arrived at the White House, he wanted the White House to be emptied of people he didn't want. And that's his right. They usually, every 4 years, they change staff. That's pretty routine. But the travel office that handled all the travel for officials had a director that had worked for 7 presidents, never had a problem ever, never a penny missing ever. And Hillary decided that her friends should run that office, and she proceeded to get rid of everybody. She did it very effectively, but the director of the travel office wouldn't leave. And she also, being young and dumb, didn't realize that as First Lady, what came out of her mouth would be taken extremely seriously. She's the spouse. She's right there. And she said, oh, no, no, the travel director, he committed embezzlement. Yeah, that's it, embezzlement. And an investigation ensued quickly. The man was arrested. It became a big scandal. It wound up in court. He was ready to plead guilty and for a lesser charge just to be done with it. But he was innocent. The judge saw it. So did the jury. And not only did they rule that you have to return these people to their offices, but all those people that Hillary hired illegally from Arkansas, they all had to be removed from those positions. So it was the first time that Bill had to deal with Hillary's selfishness and greed openly at the White House. But it didn't stop at that. It continued for years. And most people don't realize that. And way back then, the person who wound up being grilled by Congress was John Podesta. And here he is again covering for her 20 years later. And I want to talk also about Vivian Manirud. She was the owner of Airline Brokers in Miami, and she was known as a Bill Clinton supporter and Airline Brokers Company, that was the name of it. And Hillary sent Vivian Manirud to the Copacabana in Havana, Cuba, to hit drug smuggler Jorge Cabrera up for $20,000. Can you imagine? And that was way back then. And what they would give him in exchange was that if he gave them the money, that money that they wanted, that they would have him come to a dinner in a really special neighborhood. It was a fundraiser for Al Gore, and he would be invited to that. Now, remember, this guy's a drug smuggler. He's a felon. Everybody knows he's a drug smuggler, and he's in Cuba at the moment doing I don't know what. And that was way back then. And then there's a very, very racist way in which Hillary spoke to Donna Brazile when Hillary had to face Matt Lauer, and he asked her questions that she didn't get ahead of time. And boy, did she lose her composure. She threw a glass of water in her assistant's face and then proceeded to say things to Donna Brazile like, I'm not going to repeat the words because they include the F word, and I'm just not going to do it. The meltdown was Hillary called Donna Brazile a brain-dead buffalo. Look at you, staring at the wall. You look like a brain-dead buffalo. Clean this mess up. I'm not going to use the word she used. Learn how to clean it up and make calls to this one, that one. She wanted all the networks called to crush Matt Lauer. And she has been under the protection of Secret Service for almost 40 years. It's not that she thinks she is superior. She's certain of it. She's so accustomed to getting away and pushing past anyone that this is how she thinks the real world is. And no one in the Democratic Party has defended Donna Brazile from that extremely racist remark. And Hillary Clinton's a white woman. Donna Brazile's a black woman. You don't talk like that and say things like, look at you, you look like a brain-dead buffalo. And the reason I called this reference up is because when people insult each other, when children insult each other, they tend to call each other by the animal the child most resembles. For instance, if it's a little girl with pigtails, they think of one of those cutie little monkeys with the high ears because that, you know, pigtails remind them of that. In the case of Donna Brazile, Donna Brazile, as you all know, has protruding eyes. It could be high blood pressure. It could be goiter. It could be anything. The point is she does. And she's a black woman. The idea that a white Hillary Clinton would say to a black woman, look at you. I'm sick of your face. What good are you? You're absolutely useless. You stand there staring at the wall like a brain-dead buffalo. That's as racist a rampage as you can have. And no one argued about that. Now, that's Hillary, white Hillary, to black Donna Brazile. Then there's the other one that kind of passed by real quiet. Bill Clinton decided, and please don't think that Loretta Lynch was involved. She wasn't, or that she agreed. She didn't. He decided he's going to give her what for and tell her what he wants and what he expects. And he told his security detail, to call her pilot and turn around and come back because they were taxiing to leave. Loretta Lynch's flight was ready to leave. And Bill asked his security detail to call her pilot and say that the president wants to speak to you for a minute. He did not identify himself. Naturally, she thought it was President Obama. Instead, it was Bill Clinton. Now, consider that this is the first time we have a black woman in such a great position, attorney general. And a white man goes on, first of all, makes believe he's someone else, makes believe he's the actual sitting president when he's a former president. And he goes ahead and he gets on her plane. She didn't agree to that. And when he got on the plane, he ordered everyone off. Her husband was rubbing her back and consoling her. Bill Clinton would later go to his friends and brag that her perspiration was beading up on top of her makeup and that her hands were trembling. She was terrified. You don't know what he's coming on to say or what he's coming on to do. This is a person with a reputation of getting his way, and then if not, people disappear or die. So she doesn't know. I think she knows him enough to know to be scared, and she was. And all of a sudden, There's no investigation. That, again, was quieted. No one got upset that a white man went to the black woman with the highest legal position in the country and basically told her what's what. You know what that reminded me of? When a minority is reminded that they're a minority and told to hold their place and to know their place. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. And no one complained. And then you have to wonder, how was it that so many people were quiet and secretive and voted? How did that happen? How was it that there were so many? Remember that unbeknownst to us, the public, hundreds of reporters from different mainstream media outlets were having dinner with Podesta and Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC in general. They were accustomed to saying what they wanted to say, and they did. And the media members who spoke to one another during dinners and became accustomed with the remark, instead of identifying the segment of society that has not attained a graduate degree, they began to call those people the lesser educated. And you know what? The lesser educated heard them. Here are a bunch of snooty, snot-nosed people, members of the 1%, calling the majority of this country the lesser educated. In other words, oh, well, let me read the news for you because you're lesser educated and you won't get it. I remember when Michael Brown died in Missouri and all of the news media took the Department of Justice report and they would use 2 and 3 sentences at a time and then read it to people as though people couldn't read anymore, as though they couldn't interpret the material. At Syndicated News, we posted the entire report because we believe people can read. But that remark was constant. They used it on MSNBC, on CNN, even on 60 Minutes, everywhere. Everywhere they used it. The lesser educated. And those lesser educated people heard them. And they actually went and voted for Trump in scores. And that's what happened. They became so insulated and so accustomed to getting their way at the Democratic Party that they began to hire organizations to create violence and chaos at the Bernie Sanders rallies and then at the Donald Trump rallies. And no one gets upset about that. And those people are, again, encouraging so many to march and march. It's getting cold already. And many of them don't have jobs. But they're marching and marching and marching. And for what? Katy Perry and Lady Gaga, who are entertainers, think it because they get to go to these functions and parties that somehow they are important and that what they think matters. They decided that because Hillary may have gotten more popular votes, they want to go to change.org and start a petition to give Hillary Clinton the presidency and to completely ignore the Electoral College. I'm one of those people that was extremely surprised when that map got redder and redder. I was in shock. I didn't know that it would be that hard and that strong. That surprised me. And no one realized that the lesser educated were not lesser educated at all. They know how to vote. They know how to vote. And it should remind us all that when we're referring to people from a certain religion or anything else, we understand that what is acceptable in our language may not be acceptable in theirs. And for Americans to be calling blue-collar workers, which is actually their preference, they prefer, they have told me to be called blue-collar worker because that's how they recognize themselves, to be called the lesser educated was really looking down their respective journalistic noses at working people. Now, what is it that would prompt so many of them to vote for Trump? Well, there are some ugly realities, and many of you may take offense. I hope you just relax and hear what I'm going to say. Why did all of them vote? It wasn't that they were voting Trump in. They were voting Hillary out. But why? Because we're all sensible adult people. And when we see someone limping, we know that there's something wrong with the knee or the foot, but there's something wrong that's interfering with this person's ability to walk, and their gait has been affected. and we could see it. When a person goes to read a book and they have to push it up to their nose or they have to push it far away, obviously there's something wrong with vision. And because we don't take our physically handicapped or impaired and put them away from society, they live right here in society. We know Parkinson's when we see it. And a doctor can look at you and you've got the flu, you look like the flu, you sound like the flu, and he'll say, I think you got the flu. And so too will I, and I'm not a doctor. And I have seen many people with Parkinson's, and they have the same symptoms that Hillary has. And if you read WikiLeaks, you'll notice that many people within her camp were assigned to research Parkinson's and the medication that helped. But no one said a word about it. They just kept quiet. But the reality is, all of us, Americans and people from around the world, can see that Hillary is very sick, especially that one episode where she was in front of the van flopping, and they had to hold her up, and she just flopped forward. That was on September 11th at the park. When that happened, it was obvious to everybody, this is Parkinson's. It's not an ugly word. It's not a bad word. It's Parkinson's. That's a progressive disease, which means she's not going to be around forever, and she'll likely die earlier than her time. But then who is going to take over the helm? Who's going to run this country if she's sick? Bill Clinton, of course. And a lot of people like Bill Clinton and don't mind if he runs the country again. And a lot of people don't like him and don't want him to run it again. But that wasn't what scared them. What scared them was that if Hillary is disabled and Bill begins to run the country, who would be the second in command in charge of everything as she's been for 20 years next to Hillary's side? Huma Abedin. And Huma Abedin grew up within the Islamic Brotherhood, and her mother is the leader of the Islamic Sisterhood. This is a family that has been involved with the Islamic Brotherhood forever. And not one has this young lady, Huma Abedin, renounced any of that, in spite of their hate speech, their ability to take gays and throw them off the rooftop. They don't say a word. Huma has never renounced any of her associations that are extremely violent and well-known. Never. And if you follow the Quran, the most important position an Islamic person can have is to be within the house of the enemy. That's what the fifth column is all about. And the next time we get together, we're going to talk about the night of the Orlando shootings at the Pulse Club. What I have to tell you about that is going to make your hair stand on end. Well, I thank you for listening and for participating. Visit our website at snn.bz, and I will leave you with a song by Made in Brooklyn. It's a CD released recently by John McEwen and Friends, and it's a delightful piece of music, My Favorite Dreams.